This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Collaborative, part of the community.
The next idea.
When we really see each other, we want to help each other.
The terror attacks in Paris have triggered fresh waves of fear and suspicion aimed at Muslims. Here's just one example. The FBI is now investigating a Michigan woman after a tweet that she sent out the day after the Paris attacks. And I'm quoting now, "Dearborn, MI has the largest Muslim population in the United States. Let's bleep that place up and send a message to ISIS. We're coming." From a local tweet like that to CNN anchors asking this of a leader in the French Muslim community.
If your camp is the French camp, why is it that no one within the Muslim community there in France knew what these guys were up to? Because it seems to me that this was a pretty big plan. Surely someone beyond the seven guys who were being killed over the last 48 hours would have to have known something, and that was probably within the Muslim community, but yet no one said anything.
Dr. Farah Habasi is with us now. She's an assistant professor of psychiatry at Michigan State University, and she's managing editor of the Journal of Muslim Mental Health. Welcome, Dr. Habasi.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
As a psychiatrist, Dr. Habasi, how do you define phobia?
So, Sharon, phobia is excessive, intense, and very irrational fear.
And taking looking into Islamophobia, we had these couple of examples that we've just shared. In what ways have you seen this irrational, implicit bias, this Islamophobia? How is it affecting Muslim Americans?
First of all, as a mental health provider, remember that phobia, paranoia, is something that affects both the perpetrator and the victim, and it affects your society. So we are a part of a cohesive, integrated society. But what paranoia does is we start to mistrust each other. So different aspects of the community are feeling it differently. Let's start with the youth. We are so focused on what's happening with the youth. We are always concerned. But do you realize that is a very vulnerable time in the development of your identity? And suddenly Muslim youth are under attack. They feel they have to defend and they have to stand up and say, this is not us. This is not about me. It's not on me. And the pressure, the stress they are doing. So there are studies that are showing that Muslim kids are more stressed than other religious groups in the campus settings. Now look at the woman. So women who dress differently or who are covering, they feel more threatened. People who have been actively involved in peacemaking or activists, they have been threatened. Look at the men. How does it affect you when you open the TV and the first thing you hear is something negative, some stereotyping, something putting you down? And I think microaggressions are happening every day towards a Muslim. And microaggression means subtle ways of making you uncomfortable, making you feel threatened, making you feel insecure. So,
and making you feel separate and apart.
Yes, making you feel not part of the system. And it can be micro invalidations, micro insults. So if you look up the literature and see how it's affecting your mental health, it's very clear. We are seeing high rates of anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress. But we are also seeing similar findings in non-Muslim Americans who are now fearing that ISIS is right there in their neighborhood, or they are looking at everybody suspiciously. So they are also having issues. They are also having increased anxiety. So it is affecting both sides of the issue. So the thing is to focus on is, like, even recently, I have been here 15 years now. And from day one, I came here for purely educational purpose. I was screened for 2 years at least. My papers were screened. I came here legally. I was given citizenship. And I'm here as a law-abiding citizen who go to work to take care of my patients, take care of my students, and I want a simple life where I can come home and be with my family. I am not interested in politics. I'm not interested in what is Daesh or what is not Daesh. I just want to do my work, pay my taxes, come home, take care of my family. But what is happening is, from day one, I was asked this question, why aren't you denouncing terrorism? So I was made to stand up and apologize about Al-Qaeda. Then it was Iraq war, and we had to say Saddam Hussein is not one of us. Then now it's Daesh. So
you're getting pulled right in whether you want to be or not.
Exactly. So I have to ask everyone that look at the college shootings. I work in college setting. If we draw a profile of an average college shooter, a person who does that violence, it comes out a young Caucasian guy, right? Does that mean every Caucasian kid here, should I ask them, but why don't you denounce this college shootings? Naturally, we all denounce terrorism. I can stand here and scream, and I feel my mind is the loudest scream that is not being heard, that we denounce it as much as any other American, we denounce it. But to be asked again and again that denounce ISIS, I feel it's microaggression now.
Now, since the Paris attacks, Dr. Abbasi, you've come up with an idea you're calling MUTE, which means Muslims Under Threat of Extremist. What is it and what motivated you to come up with this so very quickly?
What I'm realizing is that the majority of Americans, be it Muslims or non-Muslim, do not buy into this narrative that Muslim are terrorist or Muslim are extremist. But the ones on the fringes, they are hijacking our narrative. So I feel we have been put on a mute, that most majority of Americans who want peace, who want to live together, have been put on a mute. So I want to unmute it, give the voice to the silent majority. I'm calling it Muslims Under Threat of Extremist, which means the majority peace-loving Muslims who are living here, who go and do their work every day, their voice has been taken away. So I think we are caught in between people who are perverting our religion and people who want us to push towards those people. I only have to say this. I was there when the Civil War was being fought. I'm buried in Arlington Cemetery. I still serve this country. I am in every profession. I am in your neighborhood. I am in your family. I'm your friend. So MUTE is a call to all fellow Americans to come together in the spirit of United States of America, e pluribus unum, out of many one, and I am one of those many.
And what are your plans for this effort, MUTE, Dr. Abbasi?
Initially, it would be started as a Twitter movement like hashtag MUTE, but I want everybody to hashtag MUTE and express this solidarity, the spirit of the Union of United States of America.
There is still such a large contingent of people who just plain refuse to believe that Islam is not at the heart of these terror attacks. Do you believe this effort like yours, MUTE, and others can make a dent in that?
Think of it this way. As a mental health provider, as a parent, or as a parent, we are taught that catch your kids doing well. Don't come out with punishment, but encourage them, and they continue to grow and prosper. So if you are going to isolate, separate and say, stand in the corner, turn your face towards the wall, and you will be punished till you improve. People are feeling like, why am I being asked this question? Why am I being punished for something that has nothing to do with me? So let's come back to mental health. One of the things that we use, and I'm a big proponent of, is resiliency and coping. And faith and spirituality, we are realizing, are strong tools for your resiliency. And you are taking that away from a faith-based community. I'm saying, open it up. Come to the Islamic centers. Talk to imams. Maybe there is one in million that might be perverting Islam, but 99% of the imams are involved in these efforts, are in forefront of these efforts, want peace for themselves and for their congregation.
And what are your fears, Dr. Abbasi, for the future if we can't put the brakes on this rampant Islamophobia, not only in Michigan, but across the country?
Look, I didn't come on this radio today to talk about Iraq, Iran, Pakistan. I'm not talking about Syria. I'm not talking about anyone. I'm here as a patriotic American. This is infestation that's happening in my country. It's a conflict that's happening in my backyard. So I want to be this to be taken as an American issue, an American problem, where how do we think about it like a family? If two kids in a family are not getting along, which is wrong, we are getting along. Most of us are getting along. I just came back from a wedding which was between Muslim, Jewish, Christian families, and we all celebrated all three traditions. We had an amazing, beautiful evening full of love and understanding. So it's happening. We just have to focus on that rather than the divisive, the ones who are trying to separate and isolate us. And I'm really worried that people who are right now asking questions and telling me to stand up and defend myself and defend my faith, tomorrow there will be people who would not ask you. They will react first. I think media has an important role. And each one of us have to play a role in this. We all have to stand up for America. I always say I am a patriotic American and a practicing Muslim.
Dr. Farha Abbasi is assistant professor of psychiatry at Michigan State University, and she's the managing editor of the Journal of Muslim Mental Health. Dr. Abbasi, thank you so much for sharing your ideas with us on The Next Idea.
Thank you.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.